there are so many things that we could speak about, so many wonderful aspects of our Lord's birth, that we could possibly do it in a sermon. That is the reason why we have what we call an octave. An octave comes from the Latin 8, and we celebrate the birth of Christ, the Nativity, for 8 days. Not only today, December 25th, but 6th, 27th, page 930, all the way to January 1st. But as we know, after our Lord's birth, God had revealed to the Magi, the three kings, about this wonderful event. And we celebrate what we call the 12 days of Christmas. Because there's so many things to ponder, so many things to consider, one day is not enough. The beautiful thing about today is that the priest is able to offer three masses. Last night we had a midnight mass. Now we have our second mass. And then after mass we've been driving out for 3 hours for our early church, St. Mary's, for the third mass. How far back does offering three masses on Christmas go back? Well, I was reading in the life of St. Thomas Becket. He was the Archbishop of Canterbury. He was martyred. And he talks about, and this is in the 1100s, mind you, maybe close to 900 years ago, offering three masses on Christmas. And the amazing thing is that after Christmas, the same feasts that we celebrate tomorrow will be the Feast of St. Stephen, the first part. So when we think of our celebration of Christmas and three masses, and that just goes back to the 1100s. But I was reading in the breviary yesterday night, the prayers that we pray every day for this feast. And Pope St. Gregory the Great is giving the commentary on one of the Gospels. And he goes back, I'd say close to 1100 years, 1,100 years. And he is saying in this sermon, because we have three masses, we were going to keep our sermon short. And he starts out his sermon by giving that little explanation. But the beautiful thing when we think of Mass is that Christmas is renewed. When we celebrate someone's birthday, it's only right that they are with us when we celebrate their birthday. If somebody's out of town and they come back and say, oh, we had your birthday party, by the way. We had a great time, but you weren't there. You know, that wouldn't be very nice. But Christ has provided for us. Jesus, he walked this earth nearly 2,000, over 2,000 years ago. He was visibly amongst men. But he wasn't going to be here forever. And yet he wanted to always be with us because of his great love for us. Our Savior, we know, loves us very, very dearly. If you were going to perhaps leave your family and go on a long trip, or maybe be away for a couple years, you would do something to stay in contact with your loved ones. Phone, maybe get on the internet, have a Skype where you can see the person, and try to keep in contact with them, writing letters and sending things to compensate for not being there. But Jesus, Almighty God and true man, before he left us, he instituted this wonderful sacrament called the Holy Eucharist, that he might be with us all days, as he promised, even to the end of the world. And at the Last Supper, before he suffered and died for us, he changed the bread and wine into his own body and blood. This is my body. This is the chalice of my blood. And so when we celebrate Jesus' birthday today, this morning, Jesus indeed comes down on the altar, the same Jesus that the Virgin Mary held in her arms that first Christmas night and laid in the manger. The same Jesus that hung on the cross to redeem us and be our Savior. We will receive him in Holy Communion. And it was not for no reason, there was a definite reason, I should say, that Jesus was born in Bethlehem. which the towns, Bethlehem means the house of bread, because Jesus is the living bread that came down from heaven. What a great way we celebrate his birthday, by going to Mass, Christ's Mass. We celebrate Christmas, the birth of Christ, with the best way possible, with Jesus present on our altar. And I'd also like to share with you just briefly, when we think of our Lord's birth 2014 years ago, we know that the people of the time must have been very, very different and cold. We were speaking about this last night, but Joseph and Mary went on this long journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. It took 5 days, an estimated 70 miles. They came on this long trip, they were exhausted, they were cold. If you've ever been on a long trip, what is the first thing I want to do? I just want to go home. I just want to make myself comfortable, relax, and get some rest. But not so with the Holy Family. They get to Bethlehem. There's this couple that's traveling a great distance, and Mary is with child, and no one could find it in their heart to take them in. When we think of this perhaps happening today, let's say there's some travelers, and they're not, you know, people we'd be afraid of, but they look like legitimate as long as infecting, and husband there, you know, they're down and out, they need help, they're broken down, or they have no money, or there's no place for them to go. We would, all of us, I'm sure, do something. Your heart would be going out to them. But no, the people of Bethlehem, they turn them down. What a disappointment, perhaps, on a human level, we would think. But no, Joseph and Mary willingly and lovingly suffer this and see the hand of God, that God still determined to be born in the humility and the poverty of a stable. And he came as our Savior to suffer for us, also to heal the wounds of sin inflicted on our soul. And the sins are especially, to say that the sin of pride is the capital sin. And he teaches us by his utter humility, being born in a stable as animals, in utter poverty, he teaches us that lesson of humility and also detachment from the things of this world. When we think of our Lord, we've mentioned this before, the Christmas lights remind us that Jesus is indeed the light of the world. And on this Christmas day, we should focus our attention on Jesus and the beautiful example that he gives to all of us. And let us remember this. The angels, their words when our Lord was born. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of goodwill. As we celebrate Jesus' birthday, let us be determined to be men of goodwill. Men of goodwill. What does that mean? Who are men of goodwill? But those who, in their will, with their determination, want to do the will of God. They want to keep God's commandments. They want to live a God-centered life. And what will God give us in return if we are men of goodwill? Peace. A peace that the world cannot give. We can only meditate and reflect, despite Joseph and Mary's hardship of not having a place, having to go to this humble stable, the peace, the joy, and the utter happiness that the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of God, was born. And as we read it on this morning's Gospel, Mary kept all these beautiful things, pondering them in her heart. Let us be men of goodwill, and if we are, God will give us peace, a peace that the world cannot give. And in imitation of Mary, as we celebrate Christmas and the dinners and the celebrations and the desserts and the visitings and the giving of gifts, let us not lose sight of what Christmas is all about. God so loved the world to give his only begotten Son. And his Son so loved us to be our Savior, to suffer for us, and to redeem us. And even in his nativity, this frail infant is born in a cold and damp and dark cave in a stable. And he did it because he loved us. And let us remember that he came down from heaven that we might have life by the sanctifying grace and have it abundantly. Let us treasure this great gift that Jesus has given to all of us, the life of God and our soul. And let us, as I said, as we celebrate this Mass and Jesus comes out of the altar, let us renew our love for him and our determination to be men of good will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son,